is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome from the Mercatus Center Senior Research Fellow Véronique de Rougy to comment on the proposal by the G7 finance ministers and others of changes in global tax structure, so that what we're looking at here is a three-part proposal. First, the 100 largest companies, however they're defined, to be paying multinational taxes to everyone. Second, all corporations operating internationally to have a minimum tax, a global minimum tax. I think 15% is used as the number. And third, a digital tax for companies that are doing business in countries but do not have a presence there, such as Google advertising, or such as any one of the social media platforms from California. Véronique, very good evening to you. The global minimum tax and the multinational biggest only tax and the digital tax, these are all aspects of proposals that have been talked about for years. I believe France has been a leader in talking about some aspect of this, especially the tech giants. What about it now is different? What moves this story now? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, what moves it now, I think, is that the Biden administration is in charge, and that Janet Yellen like this idea of actually worldwide taxation and grabbing revenue wherever you can find it. The U.S. under President Trump during the tax reform had put some sort of a version of a global minimum tax for U.S. companies. It's not what is presented here, but it is something that basically sets the principle for a global minimum tax, for something that even though revenue are going to be earned outside, they want to actually really prevent U.S. companies to put their subsidiaries in lower tax nation. And they want to be able to actually grab more of that revenue. And that's all that it is about. So they want other countries to join them in a tax cartel, so that if everyone is actually doing the same thing, there's not a lot of penalty for the American regime. That's what it's about. It's basically the creation of a tax cartel. And this is true for all of the three proposals. It's a power revenue grab.
I understand that, but we're talking about G7, just seven countries. Is it necessary then to impose these same recommendations upon all countries, especially ones that where they've lowered their taxes competitively? Ireland always comes up, but there are other smaller countries that do the same. So do they need an enforcement mechanism for this cartel?
Well, so that's the whole point. They start with seven high tax nations, right? And that will give them the leverage to, you can call it bully, or use their political influence to try to actually encourage the 135 nations to join them. And when I say bully, really the ones who are going to be convinced to join, and I'm hoping they won't, but are the ones precisely who have low corporate income tax rates. And there are 10 countries who have zero corporate income tax rates. There are many countries that have much, much, much lower corporate income tax rates than those seven countries. So the target, they are the true target of all of this. And so this is the first step in trying to actually not just do this tax cartel between high tax nations, because in this kind of world, sure, companies will have, from these seven countries, will have somewhat of a disincentive or less of an incentive to set their subsidiaries in a country with zero rate. But even if it's still 15%, right, 15% is less than whatever, Biden wants it to be, 28% in the U.S. So there's still an advantage. Ultimately, they want the more countries who join and agree to this, you know, really tax scheme, and the less tax competition you have, and really this is an attempt to harmonization of taxes.
You report that the way forward is not to come up with a system that imposes taxes, but to reform the tax system in individual countries if there's a complaint. Let's go to France, because France, to my reading over these years, has been a high tax state, so very high that at one point I think it was close to confiscatory, 75% or north of that. Is France a leader in this idea of a global taxation?
Yes, they are. They absolutely are a leader, and they use all sorts of really, just really silly excuses like, oh, this is because of the pandemic that we need to do this, and the race, and which is not true because they've been actually trying to work on this agreement for 4 years. And before that, France with the European Union have been trying to harmonize taxes on individuals and on corporations for much longer than this. And they're also using arguments about, like, you know, race to the bottom, meaning tax competition, you know, is bad, and we need to not have this race to the bottom, meaning we don't want to be subjected to any pressure from countries who've decided to have a good tax system with lower taxes. So yes, the French are totally leading the charge. And the thing that one of the things that I've been writing and is just kind of interesting to me, they're complaining about these tech companies or multinational companies setting their subsidiaries outside of their country in low tax nation. But actually, really, there are two things that they could be doing. If they're bothered, they could change their own transfer pricing laws. All these companies are doing this legally. They're doing this legally because each of the countries of the G7 have actually transfer pricing that allow these companies to do this kind of things. The other thing that they could do is they could become actually a low tax nation themselves. Instead of trying to bully other nation, and by the way, to violate their sovereignty, because what a global minimum tax is effectively saying is that we're going to disregard the fact that you have decided this set of tax policy for your country, and we're going to actually override this and force basically the collection of a global minimum tax. We're going to force the company, the collection of a digital tax independently of where the money is earned. I mean, and they just don't want to do this. There's a lot of things that they could do that would not violate the sovereignty of other nations and would actually be good for them, but they don't want to do that. And the French are typical in this, and they always do this. And there's no, it's not a surprise that they're like pretty much failing at the economic game, pretty much.
Berlin and London, do they join with France on this? Those would be the three major capitals to lead. Is that that triumvirate of a king?
Yes. Yes. I mean, there are, yes, them and Canada on. And it's just like, I mean, actually, it's kind of distressing to see Prime Minister in the UK, Boris Johnson, having just become, you know, I mean, just a, he has changed so much in the last year and a half. He used to be, you know, somewhat of a freedom fighter on trade. He used to be really, I mean, he was great on tax competition. He was great on all sorts of things. Not perfect, but great on all sorts of things. And it's as if the pandemic has actually transformed him into a French leader.
So Macron and Johnson, and I guess the successor to Angela Merkel, are leading the charge. Joe Biden is joining in through the person of Janet Yellen. And with 30 seconds to go, do you rate this as probable or improbable in these next years?
Well, I hope improbable, because first, before this to be ratified and in effect, they would have to convince the Senate, which right, obviously the Democrats could, to change the tax treaties. But also, I mean, if they want to extend it to more countries, they're going to have to convince those low tax nations to join into this and be basically beaten up over the head.
Véronique de Rougy of the Mercatus Center, writing most recently at the National Review. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.